In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, who allowed none to witness when He created the heavens and the earth, and who took no helper when He authored the spirits. He has no associate in divinity and no support in unity. Tongues fall silent before the limits of describing Him. Intellects fail before the core of knowing Him. Terrors fall low in awe of Him. Faces are humbled in fear of Him. And everything mighty yields to His mightiness. So to Thee belongs praise again and again, well measured, continually and methodically. And may His blessings be upon His messenger endlessly, and His salutation everlastingly, eternally. O Allah, make the beginning of this day of mine righteousness, its middle prosperity, and its end success. I seek refuge in Thee from a day whose beginning is fright, and whose middle is anxiety, and whose end is pain. O Allah, I pray forgiveness from Thee for every vow I have vowed, and every promise I have promised, and every pledge I have pledged, then failed to keep for Thee. I ask Thee concerning the complaints of Thy servants against me. If there is a servant from among Thy servants, of a handmaid from among Thy handmaids, who has against me a complaint, because I have wronged him in respect to himself, his reputation, his property, his wife or his child, or because evil words I have spoken about him in his absence, an imposition upon him through inclination, caprice, scorn, zeal, false show, bigotry, whether he be absent or present, alive or dead, such that my hand has fallen short and my capacity has been too narrow to make restitution to him or to annul my obligation to him, I ask Thee, O He who owns all objects of need which are granted by His will and hastened to His desire, that Thou blessest Muhammad and the household of Muhammad, peace be upon them, and makest the one I have wronged satisfied with me in the manner that Thou willst, and givest me mercy from Thee. Forgiveness decreases Thee not, and giving injuries Thee not. O most merciful of the merciful, O Allah, give me on every Monday two favors from Thee: the facility to obey Thee at its beginning, and the favor of Thy forgiveness at its end. O He who is Allah, and none other than whom grants forgiveness for sins.
IRIB English Radio in the month of Muharram presents today's special. Every day for 15 minutes.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Salamun Alaikum. This is today's special, we're going to speak about the movement of Imam al-Hussein, peace be upon him. I invite you to listen to this episode of today's special. Accept our condolences on martyrdom anniversary of Imam al-Hussein, peace be upon him.
As-salamu alayka ya Sayyida Shuhada. السلام عليك يا أبا عبد الله.
Today, Sunday, is the 2nd of Muharram, 1444 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 9th of Murdad, 1401 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 31st of July, 2022 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. For this episode of today's special, we choose chapter Maryam, verses 1 to 3 to listen to, please.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
In the name of Allah, the entirely merciful, the especially merciful.
كافها يا عين صاد
كاف ها يا عين صاد
ذكر رحمة ربك عبده زكريا.
This is a mention of the mercy of your Lord to his servant Zechariah.
إذ نادى ربه نداء خفيا.
When he called to his Lord a private supplication.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
ما لنا رب سوى.
Some Islamic traditions state that these abbreviated letters indicate the event of the uprising of Imam al-Hussein in Karbala as follows. Kaf refers to Karbala. Ha refers to Halak, that means the slaughter of the Prophet's progeny. Ya refers to Yazid. Ain refers to the subject of Atesh, that means thirst. And Saad refers to sabr, that means the patience and steadfastness of Imam al-Hussein and his self-sacrificing supporters. It should be noted, of course, that the verses of the Quran have the capacity to have different meanings, but despite the variety of meanings, they do not conflict with each other.
On the month of Muharram, and the martyrdom anniversary of Imam Hussein alayhi salam and his family and companions, be with today's special. Every day from IRIB English Radio.
People rise up and mourn, it is Ashura. See the struggle of Hussein.
In this episode, we're going to speak about the movement of Imam al-Hussein. The movement of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam was a method for dealing with one's own soul and with others, for he wanted to teach us a lesson about servitude at every stage of his blessed movement. We see him depart from the safety of the divine Kaaba when he saw that it would please his Lord. We see him exposing his family to capture when he saw that his Lord willed for them to be captured. He exposed himself to the greatest forms of insult and torture when he saw that his Lord willed for him to be killed. His sister, Lady Zainab, summarized all of these lessons when she confronted the oppressor of her era, saying, "I didn't see anything, but it was beautiful. God willed for this group of people to be killed, so they came out to be killed. And God will gather you and them together to be judged. So wait and see who will be victorious on that day."
Mm-hmm.
سید عباس رضویان.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحیم. السلام علیک یا ابا عبدالله. I send my deep condolences to you, dear brothers and sisters, for the martyrdom of Imam Hussein alayhi salam and his companions and his family. It is the month of Muharram. It is a time for us to connect with Imam Hussein, to think about his martyrdom, to think about what happened in Karbala, and for us to benefit and reap the benefits and imply these lessons that we learn from Karbala in our own lives. We talked about the benefits of Ziyarat Ashura. It is one of the great gifts from Imam Muhammad Baqir alayhi salam to us. When we look at Ziyarat Ashura, one of the lines in the Ziyarat we read, Ya Aba Abdullah, we address Imam Hussein and say, Laqad Alumat al-Raziyah. Imam Hussein, surely the tribulation is great. What you suffered on the day of Ashura, what happened in Karbala was truly great. It was a true great calamity that happened upon you. It was true bala. وَجَلَّتْ وَعَظُمَتْ الْمُصِيبَةُ بِكْ عَلَيْنَا وَعَلَى جَمِيعَ أَهْلِ الْإِسْلَامِ. And substantial, great is your tragedy for us and for all the people of Islam. Meaning that the bala of Imam Hussein is not only for him, that it is also great for us. This tragedy is a tragedy that we share. وَجَلَّتْ وَعَظُمَتْ مُصِيبَتُكْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ عَلَى جَمِيعَ أَهْلِ السَّمَاوَاتِ. And substantial great is your tragedy in the heavens upon the dwellers of the heavens. Therefore, the tragedy of Karbala is not only for Imam Hussein, it is for us. And it is also for the dwellers of heaven. They understand more what Imam Hussein alayhi salam went through. When we think about bala and calamity, we realize that the calamity of Imam Hussein is in such a way that we cannot truly grasp what Imam Hussein went through. Only Imam Mahdi, living right now, only the prophets, only their successors can truly see what happened to Imam Hussein.
Ya Hussein, Hussein, Hussein. Ya Hussein, Hussein, Hussein.
Lessons of Muharram.
Ya Hussein, Hussein, Hussein. Ya Hussein.
This is today's special from IRIB English Radio. Imam al-Hussein never accepted humiliation. Although it has been painted that it was Imam al-Hussein, peace be upon him, and his family who were the ones humiliated in the Battle of Karbala and its aftermath, the honor will always rest with the Imam, peace be upon him, and not Yazid. Imam al-Hussein could have easily given allegiance to Yazid in Medina, but this would bring humiliation in that the essence of Islam would be destroyed in front of him by Yazid. Imam Hussein's refusal to pledge allegiance to a tyrant is an important lesson for those who stay silent in front of the oppressors, in that dying is more honorable than to live with humiliation. Something Abu Abdullah himself mentioned in a speech. It's very interesting that in the month of Muharram, we learn a bit about the idea and the viewpoints of Imam al-Hussein's, peace be upon him. And the best way is learning about his words. In one speech, which Imam al-Hussein delivered about the abandonment of the practice of ordering others to the good and forbidding them from doing wrong, and about the uprising of the oppressors and oppressive rulers, he spoke at length about the deprivation of the oppressed and about the departure from the truth. In the process, near the end of that speech, he issued this reminder. Listen, O Lord, you know that what has taken place in terms of an upsurge and movement to commending the right, forbidding the wrong, aiding the oppressed and oppressing the oppressor has not been done out of greed and craving for power of position on our part, nor was it undertaken for self-aggrandizement or to achieve wealth and riches. Rather, we have done this so that we might see the signs of your religion and make manifest a restoration in your towns, and so that you oppressed worshippers might live in safety security, and so that your rules, laws, and the way of life that you commanded should be enacted.
For us to understand the bala of Karbala, we first need to understand the position that the Prophet and the Ahlul Bayt had. In some of the traditions we have, when he addresses Imam Ali, when he addresses Sayyidina Fatima, when the Holy Prophet is addressed, that if it wasn't for them, Allah wouldn't have created the creation. They are the purpose of creation. So we need to understand that they have a huge significance for the rest of the creation to exist. When we think about the maqam and the position of the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, we can give an example. It is like a person or a company that comes to mine diamonds. When they mine a diamond, they need to excavate an entire huge area, maybe acres of land, and they need to dig up and set up intense and huge facilities to be able to excavate diamonds. And some of these diamonds that come out are worth, or priceless, worth as much as, say, many treasures of the world are. So when we think about the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, we think of them as diamonds. That Allah wanted to create this universe in the same way, to produce such people, such complete people, like the Prophet and Imam Ali and Sayyidina Fatima, Imam Hassan, Imam Hussein, that they are true treasures for us. And during this process, say, of excavation, maybe other minerals come out. Maybe other, say, us as normal human beings, we have some worth, but we're not the worth of diamonds. Therefore, for us to understand the greatness of Imam Hussein, we see that Allah wanted to create man, and from mankind to produce, and for a group of people that are, their value cannot be measured, and they are the Ahlul Bayt, they are the diamonds of the universe, and they are the purpose of the creation. Therefore, now imagine if a group of people, they give allegiance to Imam Hussein, they write letters to Imam Hussein, but they are the same people, they come and gather around Imam Hussein. And this great Imam, that is the purpose of creation, that now people have gathered to murder him, to abuse him, to oppress him. Imagine what a great calamity this is. The entire purpose that Allah has created us is for the Prophet, is for the Ahlul Bayt, and people are gathering around to attack them. Therefore, this calamity is the worst calamity, because it is a calamity that you're fighting against God, you're fighting against God's will, the purpose of creation.
Condolences to all Muslims all around the world on the month of Muharram, when Imam Hussein alayhi salam was martyred in the land of Karbala. Dear friend, inshallah, we continue our discussion on the next episode of today's special. Until then, wassalamu alaikum. Allahumma ij'al mahyaya mahyaya Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad wa mamati mamata Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.
food for thought.
Salam, and today on the 2nd of Muharram, the anniversary of the arrival in Karbala of the Prophet's grandson, Imam Hussein, peace upon him, for his rendezvous with immortal martyrdom, we present you one of his beautiful statements, which is indeed food for thought regarding approach to God, faith, and religion. For, by my life, what is the Imam except one who judges by the book, one who upholds justice, one who professes the religion of truth, and one who dedicates himself to the essence of Allah?
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day with Dr. Shiraz Hussain Agha on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to our program, Hadith of the Day, here at IRIB English Radio. Today on Hadith of the Day, we're going to be looking at a very beautiful hadith narrated by Sayyid ibn Tawus in his famous book, Al-Luhuf, regarding something Imam Hussein said on the day of Ashura. As you know, we are in the month of Muharram, the first 10 days of Muharram. This is a very solemn month for all Muslims, for all Shia, for all of the followers, and for all of the people who are fond of the Ahlul Bayt, the family of the Holy Prophet, and especially Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Imam Hussein is one of those personalities who doesn't belong to any caste or creed or any specific group or for any religion, in fact. His message and his uprising, the reason for which he stood up and revolted, and his whole revolution, it belongs to all human beings, all freedom-loving human beings who love justice and who love fairness. Sayyid ibn Tawus is reported to have said the following on the authority of a narrator of traditions, that on the day of Ashura, Imam Hussein alayhi salam would call the enemy to a duel, and he kept on killing whoever stepped up to challenge him, until he had killed a large number of the enemy, upon which he said, "Death is better than embarking on a life of indignity, and indignity is preferable over plunging into the fire." Right? A reporter has said, "By Allah, I have never seen a defeated one whose children, household, and companions have all been killed as calm as him, as calm and as peaceful and as tranquil as him. The men," meaning the enemies, "were fighting harshly with him, and he too was harsh with them with his sword. He attacked an army of 30,000, scattered them in front of him as if they were scattered locusts. He then returned to his base, saying, 'La hawla wa la quwwata illa billahil aliyyil azim.' There is no power or strength save in Allah, the Most High, the Most Supreme." Right? So this is a very beautiful hadith, which not only, you know, alludes to the strength and the courage, the physical strength, and also the spiritual strength, the courage of Imam Hussein on that day, but also refers to and alludes to his tranquility, his peace, and you know, his reliance on God in this most difficult of time. And what beautiful virtues are these? And we, as followers of Imam Hussein and lovers of the Ahlul Bayt, it behooves us, and it is deserving of us to inculcate and to adopt these beautiful Islamic and human virtues, you know, within ourselves as a people who emulate the Imam and who love him and who believe in his message and his wish to continue his revolution and his uprising. Thank you for joining us here on Hadith of the Day. We were looking at the death and indignity and the peace of Imam Hussein in his own words. Until next time, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Dr. Shiraz Hussain Agha for the program Hadith of the Day on RIB English Radio.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.
Iqra بسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
ودعوتك ربي بقرآنك جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسان. ودعوتك ربي بقرآنك.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرج
السلام عليك يا أبا عبد الله السلام عليك يا ابن رسول الله السلام عليك يا ابن فاطمة الزهراء السلام عليك يا ابن أمير المؤمنين السلام عليكم respected brothers and sisters and welcome to Let's Recite the Quran Kareem A series of Quranic sessions held by IRIB English Radio in cooperation with Sevier International Schools Network. We really welcome you and thanks for joining us again.
As-salamu alayka ya Aba Abdillah.
We're having the sorrowful days of Muharram, the days of the martyrdom of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, Sayyidu Shuhada, the grandson of the Holy Prophet of Islam, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we really share our deepest condolences on this martyrdom, which is really a great sorrow, a great sadness for all Muslims, especially Shia Muslims across the world. I really share my condolences to all of you respected brothers here, Brother Hussein Ruhullah, Sayyid Ali Nasir, and Fawad Haider. Inshallah, may Allah Almighty help us understand the lessons of life, the messages of guidance, the messages of life, from the lifestyle, from the teachings of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, and also may Allah Almighty grant us with the opportunity to practice all these lessons in our life and be inshallah great followers for him and also the lovers of him. Inshallah we stay in this way strongly, we fear nothing, and we are committed to loving and following our imams. Am I right?
Yes.
Inshallah. So we really share our condolences and thank you so much for joining us again. Inshallah, in this Quranic session, we're going to start a new topic of our Quranic lessons. But before we start, let's recite a salawat and say hello to each other.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad wa ajil faraja.
Fawad Haider, how are you?
Fine, you?
Thank you, alhamdulillah. Is everything all right?
Yes.
Okay, great. Brother Ali Nasir, how about you?
Assalamu alaikum. Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. You're fine, that's great. And Hussein Ruhullah?
Fine, sir. How are you?
Alhamdulillah, I'm good, I'm good. So we hope everyone is fine, inshallah, yes? Across the globe who are listening to us right now and anytime. So, in the previous session, we talked a very, very important topic, and we finished actually the Noon Sakina and Tanween rules, and also Mim Sakina rules. But in this session, inshallah, we'll start a new topic, which is the very important one, Al-Mad, Mad, okay? You might have listened to a lot of reciters, like reciting some of the words, they while reciting, they prolong a lot, okay? They stretch the sound. For example, Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Look, they stretch this sound. Or for example, they say, Ula'inka. You might know the mat, yes? So these stretching sounds or these longer sounds, we are going to talk about them, inshallah. All right?
Yes.
Okay. So, the very important thing to tell you about mad is the meaning of mad. So, I told you something about it. So, who can tell me what is the meaning of mad? Huh?
Mad mean stretching.
Something. Stretching. Good. Any other meaning? In Arabic, mad means like yeah, something stretching or something long, okay? For example, the rubber, Yeah, you just pull, okay, from both sides. Yes, it just stretches.
Yes.
This is called mad. Okay, mad. And what we mean in the Quranic lessons, in Tajweed, it doesn't mean like stretching anything. Okay, it means it's stretching the vowel sounds. So what does it mean? Stretching the vowel sounds. So what are the vowel sounds in Arabic? In English, we have A, E, A, E, I, O, U. These five letters, vowel letters, yes? But in Arabic, we have short vowels. What are those short vowels? Three we have, yes?
Fatha, Kasra, Dhamma.
Yeah, nice one, Fawad. Fatha, yes. Kasra, Dhamma. Mm-hmm. These are called short vowels. If you want to read an Arabic word, if you're an Arab speaker, that's good, okay? You understand without having any harakat, you read the books. Now it is in Hawza, okay, in Islamic seminary, that we are reading the books, okay, we are having. So there is no fatha, kasra, dhamma on the top of any letters, okay, or beneath any letter. So just without harakat, we read, okay? So the teacher reads, okay, and we follow him, then we understand how to read them, okay? We learn the words. But whenever someone who is not a native speaker of Arabic, so he wants to read the Quran Kareem, first he should understand, after learning the Arabic alphabet letters, he has to understand vowels. These short vowels. Okay? These short vowels. الله تعالى أنزله ورسول الله معلمنا ورسول الله معلمنا هذا القرآن.
Want to learn Quran at home? Join us in our Quranic class. Let's recite the Quran.
الله تعالى أنزله ورسول الله معلمنا ورسول الله معلمنا.
Beside these short vowels, there is also another type of vowel sounds, which is called long vowel sounds. Okay? Long vowels. So, short vowels are fatha,
kasra,
kasra, and dhamma. Fatha produces the sound and kasra, A B C D. What? A, B, C, D, E, F. E was there. I just forgot. So, A and E. What is the Dhamma sound?
U.
Short ones, okay? Just one count. A, E, U. Short vowels, okay? Now, I want you to stretch the sound for two counts. Join them. Good one. Nice one. And E. Good. And
U.
Now three counts. Now practice three counts, okay? For three counts. Oh, great. Now for four counts. That's nice. Nice. So four counts we did. So now six counts. Join them. Great. So these are called long vowels. Yes. Okay? We have only three vowels. Okay? Yes, for what?
Are they waw maddi?
Oh, yes.
Ya waw maddi,
ya maddi, and
alif maddi.
So we have fatha, kasra, dhamma. We have waw maddi. We have alif maddi. We have ya maddi. So alif maddi, waw maddi, ya maddi. These three are
long vowels.
Long vowels, and they are stretched for how many counts?
Two counts.
Fatha, kasra, dhamma, for how many counts?
One.
A, e u. Two counts, one count. But beside this one counts, we practice like three counts, four counts, five, six, yes? So usually we have this four counts and six counts, okay? One count, two counts, and four counts and six counts. Normally we have this, or five sometimes, yes. Sometimes, inshallah, we'll study. It depends on your wishes, okay? You want to stretch it for five counts, or six counts, or any, okay? So, beside short vowels and long vowels, we have another type of long sounds, which is called mad. Mad means more stretched, okay? More stretched than the short vowel or long vowels. So, some of the mad types are this. Long vowels, okay? Long vowels. And inshallah, we'll study. There are many types of mad. Like we have mad al-tabi'i, mad al-badal, we have mad al-iwad, we have mad al-arid li-sukun, we have, and mad al-lin, we have mad al-wajib al-muttasil, we have mad al-ja'iz al-munfasil, we have, and also mad al-lazim, we have. So these are very easy. So just the names are very difficult, okay? Like, for example, we say, oh, this is pepper, this is salt, this is sugar, this is a lot of things. Then finally, there's just something very simple to eat.
It's like you see a big book,
yeah,
like for 200 pages, but when you read it, you say it was nothing simple.
Yeah, that's it, okay? Very easy. Just like a piece of cake, okay? Or for example, I ask Fawad, what's for lunch? He says, we have pepper, we have salt, we have water, we have bread, we have, what to say, potato,
pizza.
We have tomato, we have blah, 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 whatever. Then finally, when I see what is there, it's just potato chips, nothing else. That simple? Why did you say a lot of names? Yeah, I said, yeah, there are the names. So here as well, kinds of mad. Okay, there are many names, but they are very easy. Don't worry, okay? Yes. They are easy. Thank you so much. We talked, alhamdulillah, about mad. Some topics are left, okay, in mad. We'll, inshallah, practice the next of them in the next sessions. Thank you so much for being with us. If you have any questions, you can ask us. Inshallah, we'll help you regarding the Quran Karim. Thanks to IRIB English Radio and also Sevier International Schools Network. Thanks to Hussein Ruhullah, Ali Nasir, Fawad Haider, Habibullah Hazizada, and see you inshallah in the next sessions. Walhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, wa sallallahu ala Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad
wa Ali Muhammad wa ajjil faraja.
أين الحسن أين الحسين أين أبناء الحسين أين الحسن أين الحسين أين أبناء الحسين أين الحسن أين الحسين أين أبناء الحسين
In solidarity The heavens and earth will give divinely pure ones oppressed in tyranny. Sacrifice their lives for truth and unity, equality and freedom for humanity. These are the sons of the one that God calls An-Nur As-Sirajam. Masters of the youth of paradise who gave their lives to guide us on to the right.
When your horse returns to our camp riderless
Azuru Sayyidi wa Mawla ومعتمدي ورجائي
The ocean of dua
الإمام الحسين عليه السلام زيارة مني ونيابة عن والدي
Why did you leave us?
to fend for ourselves. Hussein, Hussein, the slain.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا محمد وآله الطاهرين. In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Madarisi, and in this edition of The Ocean of Dua, we are trying to discuss and talk about the different aspects of زيارة إمام الحسين عليه السلام, زيارة العاشوراء. So stay with us.
برئت إلى الله وإليكم منهم ومن أشياعهم وأتباعهم وأوليائهم يا أبا عبد الله إني سلم لمن سالمكم حرب لمن حاربكم إلى يوم القيامة.
As you were with us, dear listeners, we were explaining this part of the زيارة العاشوراء. يا أبا عبد الله إني سلم لمن سالمكم وحرب لمن حاربكم إلى يوم القيامة. أو أبا عبد الله, surely I am at peace with him who is at peace with you, and at war with he who is at war with you, until the day of resurrection. We discussed the meaning of the word silm, which literally means peace. It can also be translated as submission, and if we translate this so, it means we are expressing our submission to those who are submissive to Imam Hussein alayhi salam and the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. The word harb signifies the contradictory of silm and peace, and in this case it means anger, and when the anger intensifies we say someone hariba, or it means ishtadda ghadabu, it means his anger intensified. We said and concluded earlier on that this phrase teaches us that being at peace and being at war, these two must be understood, these two must be interpreted in the light of submission to Allah, which is true Islam. And peace with the forces of kufr has no meaning. Now let us have another look at this verse. إِنِّي سِلْمٌ لِمَنْ سَالَمَكُمْ وَحَرْبٌ لِمَنْ حَارَبَكُمْ. I am at peace with he who is at peace with you, and at war with he who is at war with you. Of course, we rendered this phrase, إِنِّي سِلْمٌ لِمَنْ سَالَمَكُمْ, as I am at peace with he who is at peace with you. And also the next part, حَرْبٌ لِمَنْ حَارَبَكُمْ, we said it means I am at war with he who is at war with you. But this phrase literally means I am peace, إِنِّي سِلْمٌ, this means I am silm, I am peace itself, وَحَرْبٌ, and I am harb, I am war itself. This is because the infinitives silm and harb, these two are employed instead of the active particles musalim and muharib, and they reveal the intensity in expression. This means the zair, the one who is reciting this part, is expressing his or her most intense peace and unity with he who is at peace with Imam Hussein, with the companions of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, and he is expressing his intense war against who is at war with Imam Hussein alayhi salam.
When people ask, I'm confused about which school is right, or which madhab is right, go to Karbala. Look at Karbala, it clarifies it instantaneously. Anybody says, I'm confused, say, please go to Karbala and tell me what happened, why it happened, and what does it have to do with your religion. You will see it completely exemplifies, it clarifies, it takes all the blurs out instantaneously. SubhanAllah, that's the miracle of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Imam Hussein alayhi salam's main foundation of morality is Do not allow tyranny. Do not allow evil doing. Do not allow indecency. Why is Imam like this? Because he knows Allah. He appreciates him. He understands his dimensions. That's why we must love them so much. We must love them so much that don't let anybody else take us away from them. There should be no room in our thoughts. No matter who we admire in this world, no matter how great a person we look at, never move the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt out of the center of the heart. Never. They will know that their Khalifa lied to them because he told them they don't pray. And if they see them praying on the battlefield, their hearts will change. So stop them from praying. Imagine how evil these people were. That's how much lies they had. And you cannot eradicate this lie at the level that we're talking about unless you give your blood for the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Now let us explain more about the phrase harbun liman harabakum. I am at war with he who is at war with you. Harb and war, as we translated it, does not always necessarily take place by means of guns and ammunitions. Being at war with somebody can also happen if the person is at war with the others and attacking their minds, attacking their souls. Attacking a culture is also harb. Disrespecting human values can be accounted as harb. These things can also sometimes be more powerful and destructive than ammunitions. The important thing, however, is to distinguish the different war fronts, is to defend and fight valiantly in the way of Allah. Ya Aba Abdullah, we call him. He is the best of those servants of Allah who are submissive to him. Now let us move to another aspect of the siyar. We must find a basis for our friendship and our enmity. If the basis of friendship and enmity are different, this equation cannot come to be true. So we should find a unified basis for both friendship and enmity. And in our case, our criterion can be anything but truth and love for Allah. And this is what Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali alayhi salam says. As-Siddiq man kana nahiyan 'ani adh-dhulmi wal-'udwan mu'inan 'ala al-birri wal-ihsan. A friend is the one who prohibits wrongdoing and transgression and assists the ones in doing actions of virtue and good. So you see, both being at peace and being at war with something, both positive and negative aspect of being a true friend are mentioned. We have many traditions, dear listeners, that help us understand who our true friends are. And those traditions also help us in distinguishing, in the best way possible, our enemies. These traditions help us understand the best criterion for befriending someone and for our enmity. And that is why we are highly recommended to refer to those traditions if we want to understand these parts of Ziyaratul Ashura more. Thank you, brothers and sisters, for staying with us in this episode of the program. We ask the Almighty Allah to set us among the guided ones and the people of the straight path. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
أنت الذي صنعت من الرمح منبرا ظمآن والزمان بعينيك ممطرا نعم الأمير أنت حسين وقدوتي ساروا إليك قلبي وعقلي ودمعتي
كرامة تبكي ككل عين لبيك يا إمامي لبيك يا حسين الروح بالدم لبيك يا حسين بالروح بالدم لبيك يا حسين
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
Questions and answers in Islamic upbringing.
I have a son. He's really fond of football, and he's so weak in his lesson courses. I really don't know what should I do.
Could you tell me when we have to start upbringing of our kids, that is, from the very beginning of the birth?
I have a little son, and he's so disrespectful. I want to know how to treat him according to the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them.
Answering parents' questions in upbringing their children in an Islamic way.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. A very warm welcome to your own program, Islamic Upbringing. In this program, we try to discuss problems, questions, and issues parents have regarding the Islamic upbringing of their children. The answers are based upon the Noble Quran and narrations from Prophet Muhammad, may peace be upon him, and his purified progeny. Today in the studio, we have with us our guest speaker, Brother Sheikh Miqdad, who is a researcher in the House Ilmi of Qom. Assalamu alaikum, brother.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah.
A very warm welcome.
Thank you very much, and salam to all the listeners, inshallah, out there.
Brother, in our previous sessions, we said that there are many things that could lead to the delay of emotional and intellectual maturity. After that, we said how could we deal with them in the previous session. And today as well, I'll ask you, is there anything else parent can do to help their children not have this delay in their emotional and intellectual maturity?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. So if you remember, our key discussion is related to bulugh. And we said that children, especially boys we're talking about,